cool because it's nice. Right. Right. Watch a finger and make sure.
The reason that we are spending so much time on this verse, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, not even in my thoughts, is that I know we talked about it, but I probably didn't remember it. Leprosy is the punishment for slander, spiritually. And the issue then, and then if it's unconfessed, it's leprosy of the forehead, in which the only, you can't be cured. You're always alone. You can't even be with other lepers. So you're forever in leprosy. And from God's perspective, slander is speaking other than something that he says or he sees. Speaking it or thinking it. So if he says it's finished, and you've got, and you're doing all this stuff, and he says it's that his peace is upon you and you're not at peace, and all the other possibilities, then from the spiritual standpoint, you're slandering. Now, that's a biggie. And I want to show you now how that, the, what we're going to talk about now is examples in the Old Testament where the Israelites curse the king, and then, and it doesn't sound like they curse the king, but the fruit was incredibly evil. Now, that means, you got to hear this. If you look anywhere, at any time, and you do not see God as all and in all, if you don't see Christ wherever, whatever situation you're in, then spiritually you are slandering God. You're speaking evil against the king. And it doesn't matter whether you say it or not. In fact, it's worse if you don't say it, because if you don't say it, then it's leprosy of the forehead. Mike, everybody understand a little bit or accept it a little bit? All right.
Calling God a liar.
Huh?
You're saying God is a liar.
Right. So the first example that we started talking about yesterday was God had said, this is a perfect land, and they should go in and possess it at once. And they said, no, we want to send spies. And then God agreed with them and said, okay, here's your spies. So he's not going to violate anything about you, except he's going to, he's not going to force you to do anything. He can't occupy where you are. That's forever true because of his humility. And so when you are not in the position of in this place of hearing under or obedience, then the scriptural description for that is being stiff-necked or taking a stand. So it behooves you to know what it is. It doesn't matter whether you know. You'll get leprosy whether you think you should or not. You know, it doesn't matter whether it doesn't matter. Well, I didn't know that. Well, you didn't know you had leprosy either. You didn't know. I mean, this is the punishment. You're forever alone if you have leprosy of the forehead. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You, no matter what you do, you've been forever alone. Now, his offering met that need, but not until it's apprehended. Anybody have any response? This is pretty heavy. This is a biggie. Everybody, your silence is going to condemn you in a minute.
Silence may not be golden here.
What?
Silence may not be golden here.
I'm sorry.
May not be golden here.
Silence is never golden. Silence is leprosy. Because you have, huh? I mean, if there's any voices going on in here and there's not anything coming out here, then silence is leprosy. The silence in the temple is what the goal is. That's why the purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth so that all the world, including all of your little counselors, are stand guilty before him. So that you can finally be apprehended by that which you're trying to apprehend. Peace. Peace of mind. Faith.
I've only just recently realized that I'm fed up with living in worry, living in fear, living in anger. I guess the price of individuality is eternal vigilance. Always looking for something to be wrong and what's the next problem that's going to happen and being pissed off at this person or that person. It's just, it feels so bad compared to just being at rest and at peace. And I'm just tired of it.
Yeah.
And only recently realized that, like in the last few days.
And I'm also always being cognizant of what other people think of you.
Oh, that's, yeah, right. That's also leprosy.
I've done that my whole darn life.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. No, that's what program your being is trying to make that not true. Like we talked about the other day. I mean, you try to engage in conversations instead of just being. You try to be polite. You try to ingratiate yourself. But you're not alone. But that is telling God. That is slandering God. Now, the only response to it isn't trying to get, I'm going to do better and I'm going to learn how to be a good conversationalist and I'm going to learn. No, that's only more of putting on the Babylonian garment. The response to it is a deeper, deeper, and deeper meaning of totally abandoning yourself, giving no thought for your life. The other biggie, the one that almost everyone, probably everyone, is programmed for, the silence is for conflict avoidance. So that's we're talking major here.
No comment.
But God sees that as slander.
The conflict is still taking place.
Yes. Oh yeah, it's always going to go on. But it's just stupid because you're beating yourself up.
Yeah. And there's no chance of God acting.
That's how world wars are started, by inner conflict.
All right. Am I communicating to anybody the importance of this? Pete?
Yeah.
Just throw away all those Babylonian garments forever.
Get naked right here.
Who told you were naked? Who told you should be different than you are? And the problem is that you keep, no matter what you do, you keep trying to, even if you say, well, I'm going to try to repent better. No, or I'm going to try to pick up my cross. No. Or I'm going to try, I'm going to mortify my flesh. I'm going to try to consider myself crucified, so I'm going to repeat these mantras, which are, it's just famous around here for the last 30 some years. It's just, that's just stupid. It's a recognition that you died on the cross. It's a recognition that there's a usurper that has driven you, and his only purpose is to cause you to be alone, to cause you not to have this, to enter into this mystery. And oh man, you've got these great excuses to justify your silence. You ever thought, you want me to enumerate some of them?
Just a couple.
Huh?
Just a couple.
I can't hear you, so that's good.
Deal.
All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 1. Now, back to the. What did God say to all the people while they were still in? He says, "You shall not see the Lamb." What did Jesus say? He said, "Except you be born again, you cannot even see the Lamb." So all you can do is to continue to respond as a brute beast. You go by what your senses and what your little voices tell you. That's this. You just go by, you know, there's no faith, there's no spirit, there's no nothing. It's just, you're just, as Jude says, like a brute beast. Oh, but I'm going to try to be a good beast. I'm going to try to get it right. Can't you see that's what you've done your whole life? You can't use this doctrine for any personal gain. You cannot use God for your gain. And he, as long as you're doing this in your mind and continue trying to, you know, we had a guy here before, he must have walked the aisle every time Just As I Am was played. So then you rededicate. Well, I'm going to do, then I rededicate, and then you end up rededicating every other day. Sometimes numerous times a day. That's not, you're rededicating yourself to serve God. That's a contradiction in terms. Do you know that there's no example of an altar call in the Scripture? Not one. Oh, everybody that needs something, keep your eyes closed. And everybody that thinks they want something, and everybody that wants to get healed, and everybody that wants to get rich, keep your eyes closed. And then come down here and get it all from Jesus. That's heresy. Did I say go to Deuteronomy?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not there. What happened this morning? What?
Did you up your medication?
Forget
your medication.
No.
You said what happened, and I just thrown up.
You're ready.
Just trying to help.
It's not avoiding climate conflict.
I'm fulfilling the ministry of Gary.
Do you understand, Jeff, any of this?
Oh, yes. I do.
Good. See, it's not very difficult. You don't have to memorize Scripture. You just have to have some integrity.
Oh, that.
I sent Harry an email yesterday, a couple of them. One is, they're not doing product placement in the pews in different churches.
What?
Product placement in the pews of different churches.
You get Chick-fil-A coupons when you open the hymnal.
Yeah, or
we're going to do it for the door.
Disney is doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Others are doing it. Product placement in the pews. That is, you can't even satirize that. That is living satire.
Yeah.
And we've got another article that was sent about. Never mind, I can't. Well, I will. I can't.
Yeah, go ahead,
Dave. They found that in something, there's some camp for youth camp that Ted Haggard was a biggie at, and they've got all these comments and exhortations to the youth. It was a It was like the brown shirt camp. It was
Jesus camp.
It was they taught him to vote for Bush, and they taught him all of the conservative, they mixed conservative politics and religion all in the same. And then there's Haggard telling him over and over about the evil of homosexuality, and I mean it's. I just want to go live in a cave. That's what I want.
You kind of do.
You and your little dog.
Yes.
In your little room with the lights off. And your dog.
Dog likes to
see. Right, yeah,
I know. It's great.
Nobody ever calls me anymore.
I think it's great staying there.
Everybody that wants anything, they go to Joy Santa now. I mean, yeah. I love that part of it.
Joy Santa, Carolyn.
Carolyn? Yeah, Carolyn. Like, we've created another matriarchal society. All right.
Works.
What?
It works.
Works better than it did when it wasn't. Then there's Sue, the
witch of the lair.
Just consider me matriarch in trading.
You know, she's
kicking me out of
kind.
The kitchen.
We digress.
I'm spending the whole morning digressing and regressing.
Can we get to Deuteronomy?
Okay, chapter 1. Verse 19. You know what Deuteronomy is, right? It's Deuteronomy literally means second law. And it's been now almost 40 years since the law was given on Mount Horeb, or Sinai. And now this is the reminder of the consequences of that law and a repetition of it, of the key points of it, before they entered the promise. So this what we're reading now is a sort of a, Moses is sort of repeating some of the stuff. Verse 19, "And we departed from Horeb. We went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea." Now, that's the place they spent 39 years. Kadesh Barnea means a sanctuary in the wilderness. That means it's a sanctuary for that they're at peace and everything is good and right. It means that they are protected while they learn to repent. Does that sound like kind of familiar? "And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord God has sent has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." Now, that's, again, he's repeating as we read in Exodus yesterday. Go up and possess it at once. But what happened? And in Hebrew it's but, not and, but it's not. "But instead of going up and possessing it once, but you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come." And Moses is confessing here. He said, "And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe." So the reason they sent spies was because they asked for it. And Moses acquiesced. Now, he probably acquiesced because he was afraid if he didn't, then all the people wouldn't be able to come up into the land. Anybody, you understand what I'm saying? And guess what? Because he acquiesced, only the type went into the land. Of all the people that came out of Egypt, only Caleb and Joshua entered the promise. That's mind blowing. And if that doesn't give you the fear of God, I don't know what will. And there's nothing, it doesn't mean you have to perform well, it means you have to repent. You stop this internal, continually, me. And this, even, well, I'm regressing again. Again, it said, let's go to Nehemiah and see it again. Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, Ezra, and Nehemiah. But I still can't find it. First Chronicles, I forgot Chronicles.
What chapter?
Nehemiah chapter 9.
I'm there.
Verse. I don't know what verse.
$50.
Ronnie, you're something else.
He's been doing his sword drills.
And again, it's a summary. Actually, what the priests and the Levites are here, they're confessing the sin of the people. And so in verse. Let's start in verse 11, or verse 10. And showed us signs and wonders unto Pharaoh and all his servants, and on all the people of his land, for they knew us not, they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day, and thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through in the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deep, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way there wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest unto them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath and commandments, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. And thou gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, i.e., they were afraid, so they sent spies. And the spies came back with an evil report, and I went. And everyone that believed or participated in that evil report slandered God. That's what you have to see. The scriptures tell us that by one offering you have been perfected forever. It tells us that you own all things. It tells us that all things exist for your sake. It tells us that God has wrought all your works in you. It tells us that these other gods have had lord over you, but now they're ghosts. It tells us that you have, thou shalt not need. And what do? We slander the king over and over and over and over. Now I'm here to testify, from my standpoint, God has never, ever, ever. I've made it. I've lasted. I made 10 million mistakes, but fortunately I repented quickly. Now that's all that we have to do. You don't have to live in the silence and the judgment and the aloneness of your leprosy. It's all been fixed. It's all been there. You don't have to live in the illusions of your sweet thoughts. You don't have to continue to tell honest lies. You've been perfected by one offering. The scriptures tell us you're not a debtor to your mind anymore. You're not a debtor to your thoughts or your feelings. Faith says it, and it's done. That doesn't mean faith like you hear about it's a commodity. It's faith that says it's finished. It's perfect. You're exactly as you should be. You're exactly where you are supposed to be. Anything else is slander. And it's so, you get seduced into it so easily. You see something that somebody else has. You see the way somebody else is living. You see a television ad and radio ads and billboards, much less what your mind automatically gives. And then you quickly become a victim because you need something. We're going to probably spend another week or so on slander, speaking evil of the king. But I'm tired of talking. Plus, the time is over. Anybody have any response? Can you at least sense the freedom that this would engender if you truly were apprehended by it? You owe your thoughts and your feelings and your little idols, and you owe them nothing. They've all been marred by a Gentile. You didn't even have to mar them. But you have to have some integrity to look at it honestly. You have to stop eating your own vomit or your parents' vomit or somebody else's vomit. Why do you labor? Because there's no satisfying. Aren't you tired of eating dust?
This is just sort of related to the king topic. But after years of living in community, there's such a difference between referring every need or problem just to yourself and opening it up.
Amen. That's the place of freedom. That's why we exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Today it's called is the last day. We've been living in the last day for 2,000 years. But we account that long suffering as the salvation. What does that mean? It means that every one of us deserve to be wiped out every second, that we can't possibly be a victim, that the very act of breathing reminds us that we're breathing out us, constant emptying and breathing in the Holy Spirit. The constant act of being thirsty reminds us that we only have worth from the blood. The constant act of eating reminds us that we only get nourishment and sustenance and satisfaction from His body, from Him. It's not difficult. It's not. There's nothing mysterious about it. All you have to have done is come to the end of everything else. If you haven't, then none of this will make any sense to you. You should go somewhere else. What? All right. Anybody else? Anybody?
I just reacted when you said, I'm not sure exactly what you said, but it ended with, I've made it. I'm still here. And my reaction to that was, I thought about myself and I looked around the room. I mean, I should be dead 1,000 times over. And I know Ronnie should, and you should, and I'll bet you just about everybody else in this room should not be here, should be 6 feet under some of this. Just after the natural, much less the spiritual.
Take it, big guy.
Or something.